Welcome to the Stuttgart Missional Community Church Sermon Podcast. SMCC is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Stuttgart, Germany. For more information or to contact us, visit us on the web at smcchurch.net. That's smcchurch.net.
It's been kind of a tough series to get through, because God has really been speaking through this series about lukewarm Christianity, about coming to church, going through the motions, but not really being a Christian, right? And what good is it going to do at the end when we meet Jesus face to face and, you know, all we have is a bunch of things we did, right, instead of having a relationship with Christ? And so today, as we finish up, I've decided to kick it old school and go analog, okay? So I've got paper here in front of me. We're going to relax. We're going to have a good time today, but we're also going to let the Lord speak to us, amen? What we do before service, before a lot of you arrive, is we're saturating the place with prayer. And I know I'm praying all week. I hope many of you are as well. God, speak to us. As we come together, would you just speak to us? As a matter of fact, let's just take a moment and pray right now. Ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your name. It is truly a privilege, O God, that we get to gather in freedom, O God, and in liberty. And Lord, I pray today that you would speak, through your word, O God, that you would speak into our hearts, that you would speak into our lives, that you would challenge us, Lord. Your word declares, those who you love, you chastise, or you discipline, O God. And I pray that you would not only discipline us today and make us more into the image of your Son, Jesus, but God, that you would also bring encouragement and strength and faith and love and grace, God. Speak to us today. We give you this service and this time ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you want to open your Bibles up to Matthew, the 14th chapter, that's where we're going to be working today. Now, if you're on the online bulletin or the app that we use for the bulletin, it'll be right there, okay? You just got to open up your app. You can take notes, blah, blah, blah. It's all right there. There's actually bonus things. Now, in the paper bulletin, you get the questions and you get the upcoming announcements. But if you get the digital bulletin, which you can just get on your way out as well, you just scan it and it has like what your kids are learning in kids' church today. You can find out what they're learning, what the teachers are teaching them, and also ways to follow up with your kids during the week, okay? Because you, as parents, are the primary spiritual educators of your kids. Not one amen. I know there's a lot of parents in here, okay? Maybe this comes as a shock to you, right? You're like, well, that's why I bring them here. Look, your kids wouldn't survive if they only ate once a week, right? They need you, not only setting the example, but physically talking to them and leading them in devotions and in prayer, setting the example for them, not only in what you do, but in how you teach them and how you raise them. And so we want to help you do that. We want to equip you. That's what the church is called to do, to equip the saints for good works. That's what we're here to do. We want to help you as parents, and we're looking for feedback on that application as well, that website that helps you educate your kids. You want to give us some feedback? That's great. But we want to help you and put tools in your hand, and that's exactly what that is. You can find it at the end of your digital bulletin. There's a link to it. The first, huh? Okay, so if you have a phone or an iPad, you have the Bible app, right? And you click Open Bible app, you go to the little thing that says More, and then it'll have Events. You click Events, and then our event will pop right up on a map. It'll come up automatically. Just click the event. Now, if you're going to a growth group or you want to save notes that you might take today, which I would encourage you to do because I'm going to save some gold, okay? It's going to be good, all right? You want to click Save, okay? And that will save all your notes, and it'll save the sermon, all the scriptures and everything for you to study later, okay? If you don't hit Save, it'll be gone in a week. It'll disappear. But if you hit save, it'll stay indefinitely. If you need help with that after service, please see me. I'll be happy to help you, or one of the others, Sean, our tech guy, will help you with that. The first week we talked about, in the Christian Atheist series, we talked about, I believe in God, but I don't know him. And we talked about the importance of getting to know God. And a lot of people were surprised to hear that God doesn't just desire us to come to church and read our Bible and even pray, but he desires a living, breathing relationship with us, and that God is alive. How many of you know that? Jesus is alive, and we can have a relationship with Jesus because he is alive. In the second week, we talked about, I believe in God, but I don't fear him, or I don't have a holy reverence for God. And last week, we talked about, I believe in God, but I don't want to go overboard, right? I don't want to be the Christian Amway salesman guy, right? The guy who's just pushing agenda. And you know, I tell you, that comes off as very shallow as Christians when we have an agenda in somebody else. Now, what do I mean when I say that? I mean, am I friends with somebody just so I can share Jesus with them, or do I have a genuine interest in them? And I want to tell you, as Christians, we're not just called to have genuine interest in people who will maybe even possibly respond to the gospel, but we are to be out into the world, serving the world, being salt, being light, not losing our influence in the world, and sticking with our Christian witness, regardless of the outcome. See, we're only going to have to answer for what we do, not for how somebody responds to an invitation to church or us sharing our faith. And going overboard is obnoxious only if it has your self-interest at heart. But when you're thinking about somebody else, when you are doing the best that you can for them, well, if people get offended, they're not offended by you. They're offended by the gospel. And the gospel sometimes has to offend people before they'll come to the place where they'll be saved. And this week we're talking about, I believe in God, but I don't trust Him fully. Think about that. Trust Him fully. I wonder if we asked for a show of hands, which I'm not going to, how many would say that we absolutely trust God 100%, fully. I've been pastoring for 20 years. I've been saved just a little bit longer. And I can tell you there are moments in my life where I wish I could say I trust God fully, but I have failed in faith. I have made mistakes. I've taken matters into my own hands and made huge mistakes. Usually if I'm taking matters in my own hands, nothing good follows. But today we're talking about the Christian atheist and how they're living their lives. And the Christian atheist doesn't have trust in God. The Christian atheist would say, I'll give you an hour for church, God, but I'm not coming on Friday or Saturday. I'm not coming on other days. The Christian atheist would say, I'll give you some quiet time, but I'm not going to let you influence my choice in music or movies. I'll trust you, God, with my salvation, but I'm going to do everything else. I'll follow the church on Facebook, but I'm not going to give my tithe, Lord. I'm not going to serve others. The Christian atheist would say, I believe God answers other people's prayers, but I'm not sure He hears mine. The Christian atheist would say, I'm worried about this. I'm going to give it to you, God. I'm going to give it to you. Wait a minute. It took too long, God. I'm taking it back. Right? Sometimes we give God an instant. If He doesn't act immediately, we're taking things back into our own hands. And I want to trust you, but I just can't. This is kind of where a lot of people find themselves. I want to trust the Lord. I want to live a life of faith. I want to step out and do daring things for God, but I just can't seem to do it. I just can't. And we defined a Christian atheist from the beginning of the series and all throughout the series as someone who says they believe in God, but lives as though He doesn't exist. And if we're not putting our faith and our hope and our trust in God, who we claim we believe in, but act as though He doesn't exist by not trusting Him with any aspect of our life, what does that say about us? Why do we have trust issues with God? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why do I have such a hard time trusting God? I know the Word says this, but I have a hard time stepping out in faith in this. Why? We know that if we can trust anyone, if we can trust anyone, we ought to be able to trust God, right? We trust our spouse, we trust our coworkers, all to probably more limited extents, right? I would hope our spouse is the person we trust the most, but in some cases, that's not true either. Right? But let's just take for granted for a moment that it's our spouse that we trust the most, or maybe our mom or dad, somebody really close to us. Does that mean that that person will never break that trust? No, it doesn't mean that, right? But God will never, never, ever break faith with us. He will never let us down. Every one of His promises we can count as an amen. So be it. We can stand on the rock of His promises, knowing that He will never fail. He does not lie. He is not capable of deceit. Every word from the Lord is true. By definition, His word is truth. All right? He cannot tell a lie. But when I think about stepping out in trust, I am reminded of a story about Peter. Matthew 14:22, if you're with me, and it'll be on the screen too. It's just something about holding God's word in your hand. I just love it. 14:22 says this, immediately He, meaning Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. Now this is just after Jesus fed the 5,000. Okay, He's being just mauled by people. And he sends the disciples out after he dismisses the crowds. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray, which is very common for Jesus. When evening came, he was there alone. Verse 24, but the boat by this time was long away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And immediately they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had gotten into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is a great story. And it makes Peter look foolish. A lot of stories in the Bible make Peter look foolish. But in this case, Peter, as ambitious as he is in faith, steps out of the boat but sinks. I did a little kind of survey of Matthew in preparation this week, looking at all the miracles that Matthew had witnessed up until this point. Now, you would think to yourself, well, if I saw Jesus feed 5,000 people, I would think I could walk on water, right? If I saw Jesus heal the leprous man, or the man with the withered hand, or the man blind from birth, I could believe. If I saw Jesus heal the woman with the issue of blood, I could believe. If I witnessed it, if I saw it, I could believe. Here's Peter, who had seen all of these things to this point, who had witnessed all these great miracles and still doubting. As a matter of fact, this is the second time the disciples find themselves on the sea being beaten by the wind and the waves. The first time, Jesus was even with them in the boat. It's so interesting that the first time, and this is the way it kind of is, this is kind of a model for training for ministry, isn't it? Jesus first is with them. They're in the boat. What's Jesus doing when the wind and the waves come? He's taking a nap. Right? He's Jesus, right? He's Jesus. He's taking a nap. Everybody's freaking out just like they are in this story. They wake Jesus. Say, "We're going to drown. The wind and the waves are beating us down." And Jesus just speaks to the wind. He speaks to the waves. He says, "Be still." And what happens? The sea is calm and the winds stop. These guys have already experienced this. And here they are on the water again, this time without Jesus. How many of you have ever felt like Jesus is on a shore somewhere without, you can't even see him, and you're out and you're in the middle of it and you feel like you're all alone? You just feel like you're out there. But you know, Jesus always comes at the opportune time. And here they are being beat, battered on the wind and the waves, and Jesus walks up on the water. And they are so freaked out, just like you and I get freaked out. They get hysterical. They're just saying stupid stuff. "It's a ghost!" Idiots, right? It's a ghost. They're freaking out. It's like Scooby-Doo or something, you know? Oh, you got me again, kids, you know? No, it's Jesus walking on the water. He says, "It's me. It's me. Don't you recognize me?" Have you ever been so hysterical with fear and anxiety that even when Jesus does show up that you don't even recognize him? Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I can get so fraught with worry and anxiety about what I'm going to do or how I'm going to handle this dire situation I find myself in that when Jesus does show up, I don't even recognize that he showed up until later, right? Until sometimes after I've messed up the situation pretty bad. And here we are, and Jesus is saying to Peter, "Come on out." We got four things we can learn from this story. Four things I want to focus on anyway. There's probably many, many more, but there's four things we're going to focus on. And number one is that trusting Jesus requires our full attention. Trusting Jesus requires our full attention. I want to tell you today, I wish I could tell you that being a Christian means it's going to be smooth sailing. That after you come to Jesus, that you're going to have more money, a better car, you're going to get that raise. If you just send me $49.95 and I send you a small bottle of water and handkerchief, right? Or whatever the televangelist is selling today, right? That you hear on TV. You are designed to be blessed. You are designed to be wealthy. You are this, that, and the other. That's called the prosperity gospel. And that's not the true gospel. Jesus actually told us in his own words, you in this world, you will have trouble. And what is Jesus saying? That there will always be wind and there will always be waves. There will always be wind and waves. There's going to be reassignments. You know, some of you have found your groove here in Germany, right? Some of you are still working on it, finding your place. But a lot of you have found your groove already. And now, after you find your groove, it seems like as soon as you hit that three-year mark in any assignment, right when you're just feeling it, man, it's time to start getting mentally ready for another transition, right? There are always going to be reassignments. There's always going to be car trouble. There's always going to be financial burdens. There's always going to be problems with your kids. Always. Now, I don't have children of my own, but I know that I can still be a problem for my mother, okay? Always going to have problems with your kids, some, you know, at times. They're not always problems all the time, all right? But storms are an opportunity to demonstrate our trust in the Lord, all right? It takes our full attention. It means we have to keep our focus on Jesus. We have to remember his promises when we're out on the water by ourselves, when we're out in life and we feel alone. We can stand on Jesus' promises. He told the disciples he would meet them. He told them before he sent them out. We can stand on the promises. See, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. It wasn't by happenstance they found themselves in the storm. It sounds like you don't want to be on the Sea of Galilee ever. I'll let you know after this Israel trip, okay, what it's like. I'm looking forward to seeing it with my own eyes. But it just sounds like from the Bible, you don't want to go fishing in a dinghy on the Sea of Galilee, okay? You just don't want to do it. It doesn't seem like a good idea. But Jesus sent them out. Did he know that the winds were going to come? Yes. Did he know there was going to be waves? Yes. Jesus knew this. But it's an opportunity to demonstrate faith. If everything's going well all the time, 100% of the time, when do you have an opportunity to demonstrate your faith or your trust in the Lord? You don't. Because let me tell you, it's easy to serve Jesus when everything is going awesome, right? Everything is awesome. Anybody else watch that? I love that movie, the Lego movie, right? Everything is awesome. When everything's awesome, it's easy to serve Jesus. It's when the storms come. It's when trials come that we are called on to prove our mettle and test our faith. Amen. The key to successfully navigating the storms is fixing our gaze on Jesus. Amen. Peter only sank when he focused on his circumstances and not on Christ. See, Peter, you got to admire the guy. Yes, in the story, in the end, he looks a little foolish, but hey, there was 11 other guys in the boat. 11 other guys that lacked the faith to step out. Now, maybe I was hypothesizing with Stacy. Maybe after Peter got out and started walking a few steps on the water, maybe John just kind of like was sticking his toe out, right? What would you do, right? The other 11, though, stayed in the boat, and Peter took a few. Just think about it. Just think about it for a minute. Just to walk 5 steps on the water with Jesus. Amen. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty exciting. I'm sure that was a transformational time for Peter, even though when he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. But you got to give Peter credit. Out of the 11, he's the only one that jumped out. He's the only one that had the faith to step out. See, some of us never experience anything with God because we refuse to step out in faith and trust God. You want to grow in your relationship with God? You want to move from Christian atheist who never gets out of the boat to a life more like Peter where you're willing to jump? You got to do it. Amen. You just got to get out of the boat. You got to trust in Jesus. You got to cast it all upon him, push all the chips in the center of the table and say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. I believe. Keep your focus on him, because I guarantee you, just doing that does not mean everything is going to go smooth. See, the wind and the waves didn't stop till both Peter and Jesus got back in the boat. Peter was walking in the waves, on top of the waves, but the waves didn't stop. And just because we step out in faith doesn't mean everything is going to be smooth and hunky-dory. All right? Doesn't mean that immediately. And so we have to keep our focus on Jesus. Once Peter refocused on Jesus and he cried out to God, he walked on the water once again. Peter understood he was sinking, right, because he was wet. We sink in our lives and we don't recognize it sometimes. We fail to see that we are not growing in our faith because we're not trusting God in some area that he's already disciplined us on. The key to future blessing is yes in obedience now, okay? See, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, gentlemen, he's not going to force anything on you. Almost every time Jesus says, if you want to follow me, he says, if. The word if is there. If you would come after me. If you would follow me. If. Because it's you have free will. Yeah. You have to follow Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit brings correction, brings conviction, and you respond with a bold face, no, you are shutting the door to future growth. You want to grow in the Lord? Start saying yes. I'm not saying stupid yes. I'm saying careful, prayerful consideration of God, His Word, His will for your life, yes. Even if it's scary, even if it looks like you're going to sink. Think about it. Peter was a fisherman. He knows what happens when you jump overboard in a storm. It was tremendous abandon that he jumped out of the boat. And then he began to sink. He refocused on Christ. And what did Christ do? He gave him grace. He gave him grace. We have to count on God's grace. We have to bank on it. Without it, we don't have a chance in the world. You know, it's grace, it's unmerited favor that God gives us. He loves us, and he reaches out and he touches Peter and he pulls him back up out of the water. Number two, trusting in Christ elevates us above our problems. Amen. Check out this boat. Any Navy people? No Navy today. Okay, let's talk bad about the Navy. All right, this is the USS Pegasus, a boat that has been decommissioned because it's too expensive. There was like six of them in the Pegasus class. And this is a patrol hydrofoil. You can't really see it from that picture. I know the screen's not so great, but this boat is actually above the water because of a hydrofoil underneath, which act like wings that produce lift that get the boat up and above the waves. See, when Peter was walking on the water, it was much like this boat. He was on top of the waves. He was walking on the water. You can go to the next slide. Enough about the Navy. Okay. He was unaffected by the pushing of the waves or the wind. See, trusting Christ elevates the believer above his or her problems, giving them proper perspective, his perspective. Now this, again, doesn't mean the problems are vanishing, but we see the problems from Christ's point of view. We see the things from Christ's point of view, and we understand and recognize that he is sovereign over all, right? See, there are two kinds of correction. There is discipline, God is disciplining us, and there is perfection. He is refining us, right? And so we need to see our problems, the situations we find ourselves in as opportunities instead of crying out in despair like the disciples. We need to see opportunities. Sometimes we don't realize this until we start sinking. I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you're sinking in a world of anxiety and hurt and fear and you're not able to trust God, the answer, the solution is to do exactly what Peter did and just cry out to God. Just pray. Tell God, I don't have the faith I need. I'm sinking, Jesus. I don't know the way out. I need your help. That in itself demonstrates trust when you cry out to God, right? You don't cry out to someone who can't help you, right? You know, you're not going to call me and ask me to fix your car. Now, if you got a jet engine that's broke down, just give me a holler. I'll come over and take a look. But internal combustion engines, like a car engine, doesn't work anything like a jet engine, okay? And a lot of people think, well, you are a jet engine mechanic. You can fix cars, right? No, not even close, right? Not even close. You're going to go to your mechanic. But Jesus, when you're in trouble, your marriage is in trouble, your finances are in trouble, you don't know what to do about your kids, your job, whatever, call on Jesus. Tell him that you feel like you're sinking and that you need his help. That in itself demonstrates trust. Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. We can trust in knowing that Jesus is with us. Number three, trusting God puts our faith on display. I'm reminded here of a story of my one of the first times hanging out with my father-in-law. We went after church on Sunday night. We had church in the morning and at night, and we would go to church at night, and then afterwards we would all go out to eat or whatever, and a lot of times in the summertime we would go over to my father-in-law's and play basketball, who had a full half-court basketball court in his backyard and a pool, so we would all just jump in the pool after. And we're playing, and he turns his ankle over, and immediately the thing swells up to about the size of a football. He's a big guy, about 6'4", 300 pounds, and rolls all that weight over on one ankle, and it immediately starts swelling. Now, he didn't say, call my wife. He didn't say, call an ambulance. He said, would you guys pray for me right now? I mean, literally in agonizing pain, the only thing he was concerned about is us praying for him first. Now, of course, he went to the doctor and he had it looked at because that's wise and prudent. But the first thing he did is he said, pray for me, pray for me. He put his faith on display. That story happened over 20 years ago, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. It spoke to me. And when Christians are in trouble and they face problems and winds and waves of life and they step out in faith and choose to trust Christ when everybody else is freaking out, your faith is on display. Amen. Your faith is on display. And storms put our faith on display. Trusting God puts our faith on display. Peter's faith was demonstrated in what he did, not what he said. He could have asked and still stayed in the boat. Right, which is what a lot of us do. Lord, give me the faith to do something, but then we don't do anything. Hello? Just me again. Okay, it's fine. I'm preaching to myself. It's all right. It's a one-room guy here. So, the Christian atheist might cry out to God, but they'll never jump out of the boat. Lastly, trusting Christ helps us grow. Trust can only grow if it's tested. Right? It can only grow if it's tested. As we... You know, when we're in a relationship with our spouse or we're dating someone or whatever the situation is in personal, interpersonal relationships, we don't start off immediately fully trusting people. Now, we might have faith and, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, but trust, real trust? No, it's not there. Or coworkers, for example, knowing that someone can get the job done that you've delegated it to, all right? I mean, we have a lot of ranking people here, okay? And you think about... When you give an assignment to somebody who should be doing their job, right, regardless of their rank, you give them an assignment and they don't do it, are you going to trust them to do the next thing, especially if it's really important, mission critical? Are you going to give them the next thing? No, you're going to give it to somebody you can trust. And that's why in the military, in a lot of bureaucratic systems, the people who actually do their job get overworked and end up quitting, right, or get out of the military because they're the only ones doing their job while Joe Blow Airman is doing nothing. Right? And seems to be getting away with it just fine, right? At least for a little while. But the guys who really do their job end up working until 8:30 every single night because they care. They're working. They're trustworthy, right? I know that's a lot of you because I hear from you and your spouses that you work all night, right? Because you are trustworthy. You're a guy that can get stuff done. You're a gal who can get stuff done, right? Now that's good, right? And I'm not going to chase down that rabbit, okay? You got to have balance in your life too. But when we're talking about trust, we're going to give the assignment, we're going to give it to somebody who knows we know can complete it, right? We're going to trust our spouse because they've been faithful to us in good and bad. You know, we love our spouses. We fall in love with them for different reasons, right? Because we're physically attracted to them, because we have a lot in common, we share common interests. But what keeps marriages going is a commitment to love, and a constant reminder that the person that you're with loves you, despite you being you. Hello? You know, you are not the perfect spouse. You are not. Okay? I'm looking at everybody in the room. Don't elbow people. Okay? You are not the perfect spouse. And your spouse loves you anyway because they're committed to love. Love is not a feeling. It's not what Hollywood portrays it as. It's not what TV shows portray it as. I fall in, I fall out. I'm sorry. Love is a choice. It is a choice to love. There's nothing about you that would send Jesus to the cross. There was nothing about you that would compel him, that you are so great that he just had to go to the cross for you. No, Jesus chose to love you and go to the cross. He chose, in spite of the fact that you sin, you offend him by your lives every day, he still chose to go to the cross for you and demonstrate love to you, demonstrate what it means to love people, demonstrate a physical reaction to an emotional, a physical reaction to what we believe, what we have faith in. Jesus said, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to the cross. Even though you think about it, he died for the people that put the nails in his hands, for the crowd that spit upon him along the road, the Via Dolorosa. He died for them, and on the cross, near death, said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. It was a choice. He chose to love us. I want you to choose to trust Christ. Choose it. Choose trust. Choose to step out in faith, to do something dangerous for Jesus. When I say dangerous, I mean things that seem dangerous to you, not physically dangerous, right? A lot of people never step out in giving because they feel like they can't financially support the church generously, because if they do, then there won't be enough, right? I'm encouraging you to step out in faith and do that. I'm encouraging you to step out and share your faith at work or with your friends, something that's dangerous for you, but the scripture clearly commands, step out and trust Jesus with the results. Step out and trust him. Yes. See, we want God to prove himself so we can trust him, right? But we've already illustrated with in Matthew that that's not exactly how it works, right? Jesus had proven himself to Peter many, many times, right? And he still lacked the faith. And we want God to prove himself so we can trust him. God, if you'll do this, I'll trust you. But God wants us to trust him so he can prove himself. Amen. Come on, man. That's pretty good preaching, right? God wants us to trust him so he can prove himself. Amen. That's pretty awesome. Just step out in faith. Trust God. You know, walk on the wire. Trust him and take that leap. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Many times we don't trust God because we don't fully know him. This series works together, right? In the first segment of our series, the first session was, I believe in God, but I don't know him. And as we get to know people, as we get to know Jesus, as we grow in our relationship with him, we will find it easier and easier to trust him. Amen. It's the life of faith, life of trusting in God is where we find our true, true freedom. Amen. You know, freedom is not found in a constitution. It's not found in a country. It's found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. And when we trust him and we move in our lives with what seems as reckless abandon to those outside the faith, It's then that we are truly free, knowing that our life is in his very, very capable hands. Very capable hands. Would you trust yourself with your life more than you trust God with your life, who has this awesome perspective? You know, I see you very differently than you see me right now. I am elevated. I'm looking down, right, at most of you, physically, not... right? Not metaphorically speaking, right? I'm looking down. You're looking up. Jesus sees our problems from a broader perspective, from a greater canvas, which we only see a few brush strokes. Jesus sees everything, and we can trust him with our very lives. To move from Christian atheist to committed follower of Christ, we must know him. We must fear him. We must commit ourselves to do his will and trust him with our very lives. The process starts with a commitment to do something, to do something. And I think what I'm asking you to do today, what is the end of this? I'm asking you to get out of the boat. Amen. Where it's comfortable, where there's some sense of security, either with other people or because you're in the confines of the boat. But to step out and walk towards Jesus, walk towards a bigger commitment to him. This is never going to be the church where people who want to just stay in the boat feel comfortable. It's never going to be that way. A lot of people have come and gone visiting SMCC. You know, they have. A lot of people have come and stayed. They've found a place they can call home, and they only leave because they PCS. But other people come and they leave, and maybe it's because they didn't like me, or maybe it's just because here we are a body of believers committed to personal growth in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not going to accept anything else. And if you're not committed to that, you're just not going to find your fit here, because you're going to be surrounded by people who are, I hope. That's the culture we're trying to cultivate here, right? Is a body of believers focused on Jesus and growing in our relationship with him. That's what we want to be about. That's what this series has been about. I know it's been challenging. I know it's been hard to hear sometimes. It's been hard to preach and study myself. But at the end, I hope it's been transformational. I hope that what you were comfortable with is not so comfortable anymore. That you won't settle for what everybody else has, but you're wanting to get out of the boat and experience the greatness of our God, right? By stepping out in faith. See, Jesus is not going to come pull you out. He's not going to come make you trust him. He's not. He's not going to make you do it. We have to do it. We have to step out in faith. And many times in our lives, it's the first thing we step on our life, step out in faith in is just the beginning. And as we learn, hey, I can trust God with whatever it is, whether it be finances or serving or be just your devotional life or making time for God, whatever you're stepping out and trusting God to provide something because you're giving this up, then as you do that, you find it easier to trust Him in the next thing. And this is where growth happens. This is where exponential growth happens in faith. Okay? And that's what I really want for you. That's what I want for our church. That's what I want for us as a body of believers.
Thank you for listening to the SMCC Sermon Podcast. Be sure to visit us on the web at smcchurch.net. That's smcchurch.net.